Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf from Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzymes Q2 and H1 FY 2023 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager, Investor Relations here at Advanced Enzymes. We hope you all have gone through our financials, press release and PPT, which has been posted in the investor relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Vasant Rathi, Chairman, Mr. Mukund Kabra, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, Group CFO. Today, the management will discuss the performance and business highlights, update on strategies, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would request you all to please read the forward-looking statement contained in the PPT. During our call, we may make forward-looking statements regarding our expectations or predictions about the future. Because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty, our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. With this, without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Vik, sir.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everybody. It is my pleasure to join you for this conference call today. I really appreciate you and all of you taking some time and I welcome you all to the conference call for this quarter and half year ended 30th September 2022. I hope you all enjoyed the festive season well. Last few quarters saw an intense microeconomic volatility across the globe after a rough start of this year. Disruption continued in the business environment due to elongated pandemic situation and geopolitical crisis. The inflationary pressure sustained on the raw material prices, power and fuel, and logistics costs. The supply chain issues which were going on from last couple of quarters remain unresolved. Despite all the uncertainties, our Q2 financial results demonstrated an improved top-line growth. Although our operating costs remain elevated, which impacted our profit margins. The growth in the quarter two numbers are driven by human nutrition, animal nutrition, which are our fundamental sections, and bioprocessing segments. We hope these hurdles ease soon and we further move towards the favorable business environment. Now, as far as the quarter performance, our top line stood at 1,387 million, grew 15% on the sequential basis. On the year and on a year basis, we had grown about 9% in quarter two. Our EBITDA stood at 397 million, grew about 28% on a sequential basis, while it declined by about 20% on year-on-year basis. We have experienced a strong growth of 49% in the bottom line on sequential basis, while it declined 13% on year-on-year basis. On the margin side, EBITDA margin stood at 29% and PAT margin stood at 19%. As our overall margin improved dramatically on sequential basis, but remained subdued on the year-on-year basis on account of elevated operating costs. Human nutrition, talking about various different segments. Human nutrition segment remained highest contributor as usual at 68% in the revenue, grew by 16% on a sequential basis and 2% on the year basis. On half-year comparison, it declined by 4%. Pharma API and biocatalysis in domestic markets and probiotic international markets primarily driving this growth in the human nutrition. Very soft in the nutrition business has an impact of vital inflation. Animal nutrition, we always state and that animal nutrition segment is one of our future growth drivers and it contributed 12% to the revenue. This segment is continuously improving from almost few consecutive quarters. It grew by 27% on year basis, 10% on sequential basis, and 19% on the half-year basis. In the bioprocessing area, the bioprocessing segment contributed 14% of the revenue. It grew by 63% on the year-on-year basis, 5% on sequential basis. Both food and non-food business grew by 64% and 61% respectively on year-on-year basis. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed 6% and grew by 28% on the sequential basis, while negative 14% and 36% on year-on basis and a half-year basis respectively. We are delighted to announce that we invested rupees 50 million for a 50% stake in Sai Ganesh Enzytech Solutions. The company will have an uninterrupted supply of one of the important digestive enzymes with consistent quality, which will help the company to provide better and regular offerings in relation to the formulated solution for human health and nutrition and food industry. Apart from the ACSL, we have also acquired an additional stake of 4.83% in our subsidiary JC Biotech, which is over and above our existing stake of 55%. With this, I will now hand over this call to Mr. Beni Rauka. He will walk you through the financials and case subsidiary numbers. Rauka, sir.
Thank you very much, sir. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. The COVID lockdowns may be behind us, but the havoc it triggered in the entire supply chain is still causing pain. As Vik sir rightly mentioned, the inflation in the input material supported by operating cost remain elevated, but we sincerely hope that things will ease soon. Now on the company's financial for the second quarter 2023, on sequential basis, Q on Q, our revenue is increased by 176 million, a 15% growth from 1,211 million to 1,387 million. Our EBITDA is increased by 88 million, 28% growth from 309 million to 397 million. Now it's about 29% of our revenue as compared to 26% in the previous quarter. Profit before tax has increased by about 105 million. This is about 44% growth from 237 million to 342 million, which is about 25% of our revenue as compared to 20% in the previous quarter. Our PAT has increased from 176 million to 263 million, increase of about 87 million, which is about 49% growth and is about 19% of our revenue as compared to 15% of our revenue in the previous quarter. On year-on-year basis, the revenue is increased by 116 million, which is a growth of about 9%. and EBITDA margin has gone up, and now it's about 397 million from 493 million. So there is a dip of about 20%. Profit before tax has decreased by about 71 million, and PAT is decreased by rupees 40 million from 303 million to 263 million. The performance for the first half of the year as compared to the first half of the previous year, the revenue is decreased by about 2%, 43 million from 2641 million to 2598 million. EBITDA is decreased by 414 million from 1120 million to 706 million. Profit before tax has gone down by about 382 million, and profit after tax is also decreased by about rupees 262 million from 700 million to 438 million. I would like to give some reasons why the EBITDA margin is down. So this is because of a couple of reasons. The first one, as you all are aware, the impact of inflation on the raw material side, and in addition to that, the product mix also is very important in our case. That has also impacted. And in addition to that, the cost of, like, you know, other inputs like power and fuel is gone up, and there is, you know, additional expenses now, because now the things are becoming normal. So travel cost has gone up, lab expenses is gone up, sales promotion is gone up. So all these expenses which has, you know, increased, so that has impacted our EBITDA margin if I compare on quarter basis. And in addition to that, if I compare EBITDA margin on year basis, the major impact, as mentioned earlier, is one, because of the increased input cost, be it a raw material, power and fuel, and lab expenses, stores and spares. And in addition to that, we have also taken into consideration the mark-to-market valuation. This is fair market valuation loss of about 43 million when I compare year-on-year increase in my other expenses. On YTD basis, the EBITDA margin is down from 42% to 27%, mainly because of the lower gross contribution due to the increased input cost, and payroll cost is up by 32 million, and higher expenses, as mentioned earlier, the mark to market loss of about 76 million, and in addition to that, the consulting charges, power and fuel expenses, lab expenses, travel, sales and promotion activities. So all these expenses are higher than, you know, the previous 6 months of the FY22. Now talking about our subsidiary number, JC Biotech revenue stood at 137 million with EBITDA of 14 million, PAT of 5 million during this quarter. This is 9% lower than the previous quarter on year basis, and on Q basis it is lower than by 6%. And PAT margin is lower than by about 29% on Q1Q, and on year basis about 80%. Evox is EBITDA positive, so revenue stood at 48 million, EBITDA of 4 million. SciTech numbers are top line, the revenue has improved from 66 million to 84 million, but the EBITDA is still negative in this quarter also, and due to higher depreciation and interest cost, the PAT is negative of 8.5 million as compared to 13.7 million during the previous quarter. The sale of our largest product, which is our anti-inflammatory enzyme, it stood at 352 million as compared to 268 million in Q2 of FY22. So this constitutes about 25% of our revenue as compared to 23% in the previous quarter. And the corresponding second quarter of last year, it was about 21%. Top 10 customer contributes about 28% of our revenue as compared to 30% in the previous quarter. And on the corresponding Q2 of FY22, 31%. Our B2C segment contributed sale of about $1.11 million as compared to $1.62 million during the same period previous year. Our R&D expenses is gone up from 100 million to 148 million in 6 months. And if I compare with the previous quarter, so Q2 it was 56 million and this time in Q2 it is about 72 million. So R&D expenses constitute about 6% of our consolidated revenue as compared to 4%. So this is what is from my side. Now we shall open the floor for question and answer session. The floor is open.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. So my first question is on a comment we made initially that margins are impacted a bit by product mix. Do you mind elaborating a bit more as to what are the key segments which are currently underperforming and do you feel that in the coming quarters and in FY24 there can be a reversal on the product mix side? Hello.
Nikhil, your voice is not clear. Can you please repeat?
Am I clear now? Is it audible?
Yeah. We are audible, but it is kind of distorted voice.
I'll just switch out from my headset. So just give me a sec, please.
Is it better, sir?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sir, my question was on the comment you made in your opening remarks around product mix impacting gross margins. Can you please elaborate a bit more which particular segments are kind of underperforming, which is leading to this gross margin pressure? And what is the outlook for second half FY23 and also for FY24? Do you believe that there could be a reversal in store on the product mix side?
So, Nikhil, the usually industrial segments do impact the margins, definitely. And you will see that our international sales, particularly in US, has impacted this year quite a bit, and that also reduces the margin. Overall, also, besides reducing the margins, in those two areas, the cost, we are spending a good deal of money also on the R&D. R&D expenditures has gone up by 2%, and more and more will be investing into research and development. So, but I think your question is what reducing the cost, impacting the cost. That is because of the industrial sales, which is considerably gone up. So, Nikhil, it's always the percentage when we talk about. So when you really look at it, nutraceutical sale is a little bit down because of the inflation is precious right now. So other sales are on a higher side, and those like make the mix and match on the margin side. But speaking about the like what will be the second half and the next year, we already like communicated earlier also that we are an R&D company. Our research is continuously going on, and as we move on, we will like improve our margins as we quarter on quarter basis, and we are working on that. Even if you look from the last quarter to this quarter, our margins are better. So we are continuously working on it. Maybe 2-3 quarters, 4 quarters down the line, our target is come back to the our original margins, EBITDA margins of between 40% to 48%.
Right. If I remember from the last con call, in fact, in the last two quarterly results, you have highlighted destocking in the probiotics market, and maybe lower probiotic sales is what is impacting margins. So any color you can share on how that market is shaping up from Advanced Enzymes perspective?
So we always talk about that there are two types of probiotics market, what we have. The long-term market, what we want to do is our own branded market, right? And that market is like already like improving on the international side. On the domestic front, when we're talking about as a bulk market, those are on a lower size. Okay. So it's a mixed picture at this point of time. But overall, if you really look at it, we have done much better on the pharma side, on the Indian front as well, or AETL front. But because of the inflationary pressures, the nutraceutical sales are down, which will be recovered in the next 2-3 quarters.
Understood. And so when you say that your margins, you are targeting to go back to the normal levels, is there any explicit cost reduction that you are building in that expectation, or this entire margin improvement will be driven by better mix and better sales growth? So if you can help me understand what will the drivers of margins here on?
It's a combination of all. Like it will be the increase in the sales, it will be improved on the productivity, and it will be reduction on the cost. We are working on all the fronts. Like we continuously work on improving our outputs that reduces the cost as well on the raw material front. We are also working on improving the top line, and that will also like increase the margins.
Got it. And so one clarification. Sorry, I missed the number that you shared on MTM losses and other expenses. Can you reiterate those numbers, please?
Yes. So the market-to-market losses, yeah. So, Raukar, you can take that.
Yeah, yeah. So the fair market valuation loss is about 10 million in this quarter. And in the last quarter, it increased to, 43 million. And total for 6 months, it is about 76 million. So in other expenses, it is sitting, overall, if you see the other expenses for 6 months has gone up by about 414. I'm sorry, I'll just come back with the numbers. The other expenses has gone up substantially by about, if you see the EBITDA, which is down by 414 million. So 203 million is our other expenses increased in 6 months' time, which comprises of 76 million of, mark-to-market loss.
Okay.
And if I look at, other expenses, the consulting charges, professional fees, expenses has gone up by about 34 million. And power and fuel cost is up by 27 million. And our lab expenses is up by 15 million. So this is combination of, various expenses increase. Due to the inflationary trend, as well as the business is picking up, so definitely a lot of expenses on travel, sales promotion, and a lot of activities of lab related, and a lot of QC related work is to be done, and even like rents and taxes are up because of the increase in sale of our exempted products, so GST expenses is also gone up. So total overall, you know, 203 million is the increase in other expenses if I compare with 6 month number of the previous year.
Right. And pardon me, sir, for a very short-term oriented question in a very volatile environment. But with 1.5 months gone into this quarter, do we expect that these other expenses should start normalizing from this quarter itself, or we are still 1 or 2 quarters away before the impact is visible?
No, this is not going to normalize in this quarter at all. Okay, it will take 2-3 quarters.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. This is very helpful.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Bajatia from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for providing the opportunity. We understand the adverse pressure on the margins because of the product mix. But in terms of product by product gross margins, do you think that has contracted or improved sequentially as compared to last quarter? I'm not asking for a specific number, just a broad commentary on whether our top 3-4 products have seen sequential improvement in gross margin or not.
So if you really look at it, our EBITDA numbers is improved on the sequential basis. Our bottom line is improved. Our sales are improved. And on percentage basis also it's improved. That itself says that sequentially we have done quite a big progress.
No, so I understand EBITDA has improved, EBITDA margin, but what I was talking about a gross margin. So if I look at your gross margin, revenue minus raw material cost, that sequentially the numbers doesn't suggest so. It shows that your RM cost as a percentage of sales has increased from 22.4% to 24.2%. So gross margin has worsened as per the numbers.
I think like there is some increase in the inventory, Rakhaji.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he's talking about only input cost raw material. In terms of the percentage of revenue, I think he's right, absolutely. That it shows, like, you know, from 22 to 24%, there is increase in the input cost. But what we are trying to say is that this increased cost is fine, like, you know, other than that, if you really see other expenses which are showing some downward trend, because, you know, whatever increase has to happen in the cost of, you know, various power and fuel, employee cost, and lab expenses, most of them has already taken place. So overall improvement in the EBITDA margin. Now, the specific question about whether the gross margin on some of the product is gone up or on sequential basis, it all depends where we have higher sales. Because, you know, we cater to human nutrition and animal nutrition, food processing. So sometime, you know, in a particular quarter, the sale of that particular product, this might be fetching, you know, better margin may not be there. So that will keep on happening, you know. So, I mean, to give you precise number, it is not possible, frankly speaking, for one and, you know, two products.
Right. Yeah, I understand that completely. And that's why I was not asking for precise numbers. But, you know, on a broad basis, so if I see your, obviously one source of improvement in margin is basically our scale and the operating leverage that we drive in employee cost and other cost because of that. But if I look at your gross margin, from FI, 2018, you know, 17-18, your gross margin was always, or your raw material cost was always around 20-21% of the sales. So that has increased to say 23-24%. Now that 3-4% margin compression that has happened is what I was trying to understand. That is it Is it due to some of the pricing reduction that you have taken, or is it due to the mix, only the mix change between the products that has happened? And,
yes,
and that's what, that's where I was trying to understand.
I understand your point. I mean, if I look at, you know, the increase in the prices of the input, I mean, raw material, probably the impact is about 1 to 1.5% of our revenue. This is only because, you know, the input cost has gone up. And in addition to that, the impact of product mix, like, you know, you have the products which is facing higher margin, that impact is probably from, you know, 5 to 4%. So that's what exactly you see the variance in the raw material. This has gone up, say, from 18 to 23%. So
And it might be like reduced because of the, some of the output has gone up. So it's an impact, what you say, is only like 3-4%, but on an overall basis, the impacts are much bigger.
Okay. Okay, understand. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. And congratulations for a recent set of numbers. We have seen some improvement on the top line as well as on the margin side this quarter. So going forward, wanted to understand that this recovery in the revenue and also on the margin side, how we should see the coming two quarters. And in past few quarters, we have been talking about the higher logistic costs which are impacting the margins. And now since we are seeing that the logistic cost or rates are coming down, so that would be also going to help us on the margin front. Or it will take some more time to reflect a decent margin expansion.
Well, Rohit, we can see some changes happening in the logistics side. The cost is coming down. We are seeing still pressures on the cost going up with the labor market. Raw material market is somewhat softening. International conditions are mixed, to say the least. And inflationary pressures are still pretty high globally. So the overall people are still working out their inventories, all of inventories, and very cautious about ordering. These things will take, I believe, a couple of quarters more until the market settles down. But we see a trending is changing positively. Definitely
right. Okay. And on this Sci-Tech business, I believe there is some, this quarter numbers were slightly lower. So that actually, once that will cross, I think, 100 million or a similar kind of range mark on a quarterly basis, then it would be a good contributor in the EBITDA side also. So this quarter, as you said, that at EBITDA it was still, I think, on the negative side. So, but can you get a number and what is the factors which are actually affecting Sci-Tech revenue growth?
So numbers, Rakaji, can you share? So Sci-Tech revenue this quarter is 84 million.
Yeah.
Which is down by 15% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA is negative minus 3 million and PAT is further negative minus 8 million. Sci-Tech is going through a very tough patch, rough phase right now with all the
vitamin C and other business is on a lower side, provided this is the toughest time in the cyclic history, maybe it will take another two quarters to really recover.
Okay. Okay. And what kind of inventory built up at the customer level or at the other end you are observing? Because in the post-COVID, we have been talking about a sudden pent-up demand for a lot of products, and that has probably led to some inventory stocking also.
It's a mixed picture. At some places, like particularly into the nutraceutical areas, you will find a lot of people and a lot of inventory. Into the vitamin C side or other sites, you will see that people are carrying a lot of inventories. At the same time, like some of the products, there are like shortage of the products. So it's always a mixed picture, but it is really hampering us on the nutraceutical side.
Okay. One last question from my side. I actually missed out on the opening remark for this new acquisition. So, if you can just elaborate on the thought behind that.
It's just a nice addition to our overall concept of total service to our customers with different products. This will enable us to develop many different product line and service our nutraceutical as well as industrial market aspects.
Okay, any number on the revenue side or margin side we can get from for this business?
No, it's not going to be impacting very greatly. I need to check. Raghavji, are you there? I think we missed it. So,
Gopan, give me a minute. I think he wants the number, right?
Yeah.
So it was a top line of about 83 million, EBITDA of about 7 million, and PAT of about 5 million. That is, you know, the financial year of FY22.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Jatinder Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. So my question is related to R&D expenses. So we've seen a sharp increase during the first half. Could you elaborate more in terms of, are there new hirings and which segments are they? Are you looking to focus more on as you go forward? And usually in your experience, what type of time frame do you see when you start investing incrementally in R&D? I know it's difficult to answer, but yeah, from your own experiences, if you could just suggest what type of lead lag effect do we see from such type of initiatives? If you could explain all of this R&D in a layman terms, I think that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Let me try. Agarwalji, okay. Agarwalji, the R&D is a long-term project always. And we are expanding with the more personnel, expansion of the labs, development of various different processes, and obviously it all takes a lot of capital expenditures, but we are very committed to keep on continuously grow in this R&D sectors. But most our concentration is on our segments at this point in time, in the human nutrition, animal nutrition, etc. And they will start providing some immediate results, probably next year. Some of them will be 2 to 3 years down the road. So as usual, we are putting a lot of emphasis and energies into. I'm very excited, by the way, with the results which are happening. Just recently, we filed some patents also.
And to continue this, sir, so within the human and the animal segments that we have, are these more of incremental, R&D on your existing product baskets, or these are mostly being spent on identifying new business lines in which we can focus on?
It's a combination of both. In the existing product, we are carrying a lot of clinical trials, we are doing a lot of supporting batches, right? And the new products, we are always trying to find it out. So there are a lot of things which are going on. Probably we are working on more than 20 different enzymes, new enzymes. We are working on plenty of different biocatalyst areas. We are working on a lot of different formulations on the animal feed areas. So it's a mix of this. You can't like just pinpoint one this area or that area.
I think that is very helpful. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Bajatia from Honesty and Integrity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for providing the follow-up. So just one request, you know, for this MTM numbers in other expenses that is there, you give it on con call, but it would be great if, you know, these thing can be mentioned either in the notes to the results or in the presentation, because that changes, you know, sometimes. So the fluctuations are such that it changes a lot of things. So it would be great if it can be mentioned in the presentation or the notes to the quarterly
sure,
result.
Thank you so much for your suggestion. We'll take a note of it.
Yeah. And so R&D cost mostly would be sitting in employee cost, right? If I'm not wrong. Large portion of it, maybe 70-80% of it would be in employee cost.
It will be in employee cost, it will be in, you know, power and fuel cost. So there are different, you know, bifurcations. So lab expenses, then again, you know, consulting, because, you know, you have some consultants in research and development too, and you spend a lot of money on technical services. And of course, you know, rent, which is like, you know, the premises. So those are, you know, different heads where these expenses are sitting.
Okay, but the large portion of it, maybe 60-70% of it would be in employee cost, or my understanding is not right?
It's about 30%.
30%, okay. That's fine. Yeah. And lastly, on the Pepin side of the business where we have made an acquisition, maybe I'm wrong, but I think we already had that business in form of procurement from other party and selling it in open market, if I'm not wrong. So just wanted to understand, what is the additional benefit as compared to what we already had by acquiring this new entity?
Yeah.
In this area, you need to have a lot of control on the procurement. So if you want to expand this business, even though like we were in this business from 1958, but recently we were just doing it, whatever is needed for it. If you want to really expand into this business, then you need to have a control on the procurement side. And you need to have a continuous supply of the material. So these are the two areas which is like really missing at this point of time. And that's why like this acquisition has come into place.
Okay. So earlier, were we acquiring from the same entity or there is the same, I mean, we were procuring from the same entity or there was some other entity?
No, we were procuring from different people depending on the situation.
Okay, got it. Understand, that's it from me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star in one. The next question is from the line of Rajat Goyal, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. I'm Rajat Goyal, individual investor in company since more than 3 years. I have few queries. First of all, we developed ImmunoSEB to overcome fatigue after COVID, but we could not take any big benefit from the same. Anyhow, it is like some breakthrough, but we could not make a good market of that. And second one is, overall, the results are almost in the same trajectory since long time, as I am also from R&D background. So I believe R&D and enzymes can do miracle, but it is not reflecting very great in the results.
Rajat, thank you for your patience. I'm glad to see that you are invested in our company for the last 3 years. You have a great experience in the R&D. Not every R&D project converts into blockbusters, right?
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately for general public, unfortunate for the company. Sometimes the immunosep kind of products, which are people know that results are good, but the period was short and couldn't take hold of it, so people forget very quickly. But there are some exciting results coming out, which, as I mentioned before, these things will take little time and sometimes the right conditions, but immunity is one of the very key area and various other aspects of it. Let's hope that we'll continue to work on it, make sure that we can provide good solutions of enzymes and enzyme benefits in various different sectors, which are clinically proven. And the rest of it, we hope that they will be successful.
So one thing which it has given us is a lot of knowledge, deep knowledge, how to deal with the viruses. This knowledge we were always able to use it in the future. So that always went to be some opportunity. Even in the immunosec, we may not have done good in India because we didn't have any experience, but we have done pretty good in India.
Yeah, it's excellent references, because once you take with the NIH websites, there's various different publications, we can see the impact going into the marketplace.
Yeah, right. In fact, I was reading one of your interview. In that, you told that, okay, you were working on some lumpy skin disease trials that are under progress.
Sorry, Rajeshit, not clear.
I read your article. In that interview, you told that you advanced enzyme working on lumpy skin disease trials.
Yes, so the trials are going on, still going on in the north side. I didn't have a research as of now, which is a secret research.
Okay.
But it's again on the virus basis. We are using the same principles and trying to look at it so that we can find some solutions.
Okay. So this is only my concern point. But okay, sometimes we do great work, but sometimes we are not able to tell to the world.
At least something is there in the future which we can utilize in the future. So yeah. Knowledge always helps. Yeah, and we always learn. Right.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for his closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking your valuable time for attending our earnings con call. We will keep you all posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered. An audio recording and the transcript of this call will be soon uploaded on our website. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.